Hey, how's it going? Shane with Hard Money, Hard Knocks, a Bitcoin podcast dedicated to shine light on Bitcoiners working hard to improve adoption in their community. Right now, the current Bitcoin price is $19,700. You could buy 5,078 sats per US dollar, and the current block height is 744,862. So today we're going to be bringing on Ryan from the Grand Rapids Bitcoiners group. So Ryan, welcome. Thank you for coming on here, and glad you're here.
Thanks, Shane. Thanks for having me. Happy
Yeah.
to represent the non-West Coast, I guess. You've been doing all West Coast meetups so far, so it's good to
Yeah.
represent the West.
I just moved from Bakersfield, California a few months ago
Yeah.
to work with Grid. So I left California and just moved out to Tennessee not too long ago. So I've built some connections in my time being in Bitcoin with those guys so far. So it's just kind of natural that it started out that way. So yeah, it's cool to now see, start getting around. Over the next couple of weeks, I'll definitely be kind of hopping around, getting to meet new people. You and I have never really came across each other on Twitter or nothing before. So it's cool. I love getting to meet new Bitcoiners. It's a great opportunity. So,
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
yep. So why don't you go ahead and just start us off by giving us a little bit of your personal Bitcoin background. Once you get into it, all that, why you like it, and what got you into starting the Grand Rapids Bitcoiners.
Yeah, so I guess a lot of us have always been like a Bitcoiner at heart. It's just Bitcoin wasn't around until recently, right? I was pretty influenced by my dad. He was always teaching me how to like the importance of being, I guess, disagreeable and it's kind of anti-authoritarian. He introduced me to libertarianism, stuff like that. From high school, I started getting a bit political, I guess. Ron Paul was kind of an influence on me. I was looking forward to him possibly becoming president. Unfortunately, that didn't work out. So I was always kind of that mindset. And then in college, around 2000, possibly 10, is maybe 11, I went to engineering school and started hearing about Bitcoin for the first time. Engineering students and I were reading like the Reddit forums and stuff like that, and I found it interesting, but at the same time, like unlikely to ever amount to anything. It was like Liberty Reserve. I don't know if you remember that. It was like a few years before Bitcoin didn't work out. All the guys went to jail for money laundering and whatnot. And I kind of equated it to probably being something similar, but had high hopes for it, obviously. But never got into it. Didn't have the technical know-how. Didn't understand like self-custody or anything like that. But then over the years, this thing just never died. And it seemed like it just got stronger and stronger year after year, you know? So finally in December of 2017, I put some skin in the game finally. And if you know about what the price was back then, it hasn't changed since then, ironically. But I rode that bear market down and I was just like, all right, well, we'll see. I'm not selling anything. Let's just see how this goes. And then 2020 hit, and for the first time, the government starts talking about this new word, trillions in amounts of money. And that was just crazy to me. I mean, billions was unheard of previously, but now we're talking trillions. And so that's really what kind of kicked me into gear and be like, where is everything? Like, where could I throw my wealth in something de-risked? And Bitcoin was the obvious choice. So, I went in hard then, and then the summer of 2020 through the fall, I just, spaced out dollar cost average throughout that time, and that was a really good move. And you want to be early in on that Cantillon effect when you see it coming. And once the government starts saying, talking about printing trillions of dollars out of nowhere, this is what Bitcoin was made for. So since then, I've been spending every waking hour a bit obsessed reading, listening to everything I possibly can. So
my mom just claimed that, or made the claim that I'm might be obsessed with Bitcoin. So, but I think I work it. I do. It's my fun time hobby. Like, I mean, it's my life.
It's your job now. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think if you're not obsessed with it, I don't think you'll understand it enough, because I don't see how you, there's this certain point that you cross where it's, I don't understand how people aren't completely obsessed. It's like discovering what the internet, the potential of the internet in the 90s is, you know.
The ones who understand it have the conviction.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, but, you know, interesting, you started kind of talking about, you know, the political background. My mom during COVID, when COVID first happened, my mom kind of started getting me going down the political rabbit hole. And so I started getting really into that. I wasn't before, and but I have a degree in history, so I want to be a high school history teacher, but still never just really got into the politics stuff. But my mom got me into it when COVID happened, and just really got, you know, went hard into it. And you know, election went by, disappointed, and you know, it was on January 5th of 2021 when my buddy Jack orange pilled me and started gave me my first touch with Bitcoin and brought it up to me. So you know, I just realized, like, man, our politics is so broken, but like, until we fix the money, like, what can you do? And then I, you know, plugged into Bitcoin into that solution, and like, man, it fixes so much stuff. And just, you know, ditch the politics stuff, and I'm just fully in on Bitcoin now, you know. So don't get me wrong, I still follow it all, but I just don't care like I used to. But yeah, I love what that could do. You know, a Bitcoiner politician who is a true orange pilled, you know, wanting to do Satoshi's work. If we could ever get a politician like that one day, just, I think that would be awesome.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's, I mean, all of these politicians, they're not out there for your best interest necessarily. They're out there for theirs, and whatever keeps them in office, even if it's at the expense of the people that they're there to serve. So it's one of the many things that, you know, Bitcoin fixes this.
Yeah. So about the Grand Rapids Bitcoiners, you know, how long ago did you start doing that, and what got you motivated to start that group?
So real quick, I'll mention, I don't know if it's coming through the recording, but it's there's a bit of fuzzy feedback.
Okay. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I just got to be a little closer.
It's still there.
Still there. Okay.
I'll go ahead with that, though. I was living in Germany at the time of the, throughout the whole pandemic, basically. Living over there, and, you know, my German is not that great. And obviously there was a lot of social restrictions. So there wasn't really much opportunity other than, like, I participated in online meetups with a bunch of Bitcoiners, and that really helped. But physical, you know, face-to-face conversations, I wasn't fortunately really able to have too much of that. We planned on coming back to Grand Rapids, my hometown, eventually. And I vowed as soon as we got here, you know, we would start a meetup. I went to the 2021 Bitcoin conference in Miami, went back in 2022. And we were moving actually during that conference. And talked to some of the other Midwest guys from Cincinnati and Detroit Bitcoiners, Chicago Bit Devs, stuff like that, and just kind of picked their brain on what they did to get started. And there were a couple of Grand Rapids guys who weren't quite willing to head up the meetup, but would have loved to have someone else do it and participate as much as they could. So we were all ready to roll, and I was super excited. So within like 2-3 weeks of us coming into Grand Rapids, moving here, we had our first meetup, and that was in April, late April this year. And it's been going good. We have probably every meetup has had 8 to 12 participants. Mostly the same guys have been coming, and girls, but it's, some come and go, some, you know, try to talk about other coins and some try to, you know, say some of the bad things about Bitcoin and where it fails and everything, but actually, like, kind of welcome that, because, you know, it only steelmans our conviction on it, or it challenges us like it should. One thing I know about Bitcoiners is that they're not super, people might think that they're super defensive and in this echo chamber, and in some ways maybe they are, but in a lot of ways they're looking at every single angle of how to break this and failing to find a way how, or when they do find a way how, we bring it to light so that we can address it as soon as possible.
Yeah, and hopefully my mic works better. But another thing too, like, if you meet Bitcoiners in public, they're not going to be those psychopaths, you know. Like, Bitcoiners in public are genuine, really good people, and, you know, they're going to completely change your mind. I know me personally, I've kind of digressed from it a little bit more, but I used to be more toxic, you know, when talking to altcoiners, and I've kind of started changing that. Now that I run a meetup, you know, I want to be able to, you know, like you said, I welcome that challenge. I want to have those debates with people, and I have an open mind. I mean, shoot, if you could prove Bitcoin's wrong to me, you know, by all means, please do. It'll free up a lot of my time. So, you know, I'd rather know now than later. So I welcome that challenge to anyone coming. But just know you're also going to have an open mind and have a debate with me as well. But as meetup organizers especially, we can't necessarily be too toxic, because that'll turn away from the group. Let the other people who come and, you know, get a few beers in them get a little more toxic or something. But as organizers, you know, I really, really had to focus on that. Like, I got to change my approach when that time does come.
Yeah, it's true. I can tend to be a bit impatient or easily frustrated. So, like, in those times, I have to really kind of humble myself, you know, take a step back and be like, okay, what is this person actually saying? Is there any validity to that? And yeah, I'm here to learn. And the big reason why I also did this is because communicating with other Bitcoiners is the best way for me to learn. I mean, I get a lot out of the podcasts and the books and stuff like that. But what I really like about meetups, and I try to encourage other people to attend them, because you can have your unique questions answered. You know, it's like you're having a, you know, a personal guide there, because typically at every meetup, you know, there's someone who can expand on the importance of running a node. There's someone who knows the monetary system, you know, pretty in depth, or what's going on with MMT or macro or anything like that. So it really helps to just have a wide ranging, you know, area of topics to be able to discuss about and perspectives from different people.
Yeah. And that's a great point, because I've met such a wide variety of people who just, I've been able to pick their minds in such different ways, which enable my knowledge of so many different aspects to grow. You know, we're next to the Y-12 facility where they did the Manhattan Project. So it's a big nuclear town, science and all that. And so we get people into, like, nuclear engineers, a couple of guys come to our meetup. But, you know, for just getting going, you know, in April, you know, 8 to 12, that's a solid number. And we want the same people coming back. You know, I want at least the guys who've been coming to my meetup, you know, they're solid guys. And I enjoy, you know, it's a monthly meetup and I enjoy seeing them, you know, at that time. So, yeah, I don't necessarily do a whole lot other than that. So, you know, I look forward to that time once a month. And speaking of that, how often do you do your meetups, and what's kind of like the structure of it? Are you doing topic focus, or is it just more social at this point?
So, yeah, we'd like to introduce topics. We're meeting, our meeting time and day is every fourth Tuesday of every month. And so we've been doing it monthly, and I've been trying to encourage us to be able to think of different topics. So I'll come up with something every time. Generally, we end up just, you know, going off on these tangents, and it ends up going the way that it does, which is fine. What we would like to have structure wise, like so far, it's just been a bunch of people, you know, chatting and talking and stuff like that, which has been great. But what we would like to do to incentivize newbies to feel a lot more comfortable to come as well is quarterly have a Bitcoin education 101 session where we might do a short, you know, 20-minute presentation on the basics, kind of intro to Bitcoin type of thing, and leave the rest of the time open to questions, you know, create this like safe environment where you feel comfortable asking the dumb questions or us kind of maybe leading you to figure out what questions to ask. Because when you really don't know anything, you don't really even know where to start or what to ask at the beginning, you know. So we would like to do something like that. I'm coming up with some kind of a quick presentation to be able to do that with. The thing is we haven't had too many people come who are complete newbies. That's something that I've, and hopefully your podcast might be able to shine some light on a good way of doing this, is to reach out to newcomers, some newbies, to be able to incentivize them to coming in. It's easy to reach out to Bitcoiners. You know, you got Bitcoin Twitter and all of these avenues to reach everyone. So collecting the Bitcoiners around in your local area actually isn't that hard. It's getting the people who, you know, that seed's been kind of planted, but they don't really know what to turn to. And then unfortunately, they end up going down the avenue of, well, man, there's 20,000 coins. I mean, I guess I'll just pick one and say that that's the one I can rally behind. And unfortunately, that, you know, leads to disaster in the end. So reaching out to people who are new and looking to learn, that's been a bit of a challenge. But that's the structure we would like to have quarterly, to be able to do an education thing for newbies.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get newbies at ours, you know, so yeah, that's, I'm hoping one day it provides a monthly place for newbies to come and learn. I hope, you know, with price action, people might be, okay, you know what, finally I'll come. Oh, well, I'll bring you to this. So I think we're, you know, meetups are in the early stage as far as that goes. And from the guys that I've spoken to so far, you know, it is typically just a bunch of Bitcoiners hanging out, which is definitely something that we need, because like yourself, you know, after the Bitcoin conference, you know, started wanting to get involved with this. My buddy Connor, who helps me put on the Knoxville group, he, similar story. He, after that conference, he wanted to start a meetup here. So I was already working on it. And then I saw, like, after a week or two, I saw him starting a Knoxville group. So I messaged him saying, hey, let's work together. And that's been a really great relationship that we built. And really enjoy, you know, who he is and how he's helped me grow, because he knows traditional finance and the macro and all that really well. And I'm really dumb when it comes to the old monetary system, and they make it too complicated, and then they don't teach us in school about it. So, you know, I'm smart enough to see that it's screwed up, and I see a fix, and that's Bitcoin. So, but yeah, you know, with new people, it's, you know, hopefully with price action, more new people come. But what I do is print these business cards. And on the back, I make QR codes of how to get in contact with us, and then do a design, you know, the logo on the front. And then that way, if I do come across new people in public, I'm able to just hand them one of those instead of just, you know, giving a bunch of word vomit and then they're just forget it all later. So it makes it easy. Here's this. Also, when I go to the bathroom in public, I'll leave one in the urinal or something. You never know when somebody will see it. So that could be a useful tool for you. But just know you definitely are not alone as far as having new people. There's not a whole lot that I know of either. So
yeah, that's good to know. One of our members had a good idea where he's printed off some T-shirts, and all it says on the back is just ask me about Bitcoin, you know. And if a couple of people are just have that around, you know, it's very inviting just to come up and you know, ask your questions. And you're right, like right now it's a lot of just Bitcoiners talking to Bitcoiners, but the advantage, like the value in that is amazing as well. I mean, that was the selfish reason why I really wanted to start a meetup. I wanted to connect with those who are, you know, local and also like-minded, like me, particularly not just for the Bitcoin aspect, but like I'm a farmer, do a bunch of different things, but one of the things I do is farming, and I really would like to, you know, I love the beef initiative and connecting local farmers and, you know, getting out of this fiat food system that is surrounding us. So selfishly, I was hoping to be able to connect with other sovereign individuals who are, you know, kind of decentralizing their food source a bit, or at least taking that into their own hands and growing their own food. And if you can connect with those type of people, you don't need to serve these, you know, food cartels or, you know, the same thing with the education system and the monetary system. Like, this whole thing is about opting out, and you need these circular economies to be able to participate in. So you need to know who you can transact with, you know, and that's with all goods and services and products and all that. And eventually we'll be a network where we can, you know, transact with everyone and be able to connect with everyone easier. But right now it seems like the best avenue to be able to connect with local Bitcoiners is the meetups, which is why I think both of us know why these things are so important, which is why you started your podcast.
Right? Yeah. And, you know, also to the meetups, like, people who are coming who are still fairly new, you know, have a decent understanding of Bitcoin, but aren't fully orange pill laser eyed, you know, let's go at it. Having these meetups gives them a chance to grow and be that person with that conviction and go out and orange pill more people and hopefully bring more people in the future, you know. Definitely with this meetup, you got to have a low time preference and just know, you know, like, if you're under 10 people for a few months to a year, like, that's probably going to happen, you know, especially depending on the size town that you're in. You know, don't go into this with high expectations, and just know you're going to be building really solid connections with a select few people. But those connections are extremely valuable. And, you know, just like, just so many great people. I'd say it every podcast, but I mean, just so many great freaking people out there who I've met through meetups. And when I was living in California, I went to several, I just went to one. I went to one there, and then I went to Nashville when I first moved here. But I just sort of getting to know other organizers and everything, they've been so helpful. Just like you're saying, with all the guys kind of around you, just very helpful people, just getting this going. And it's just going to be really a really great thing to be able to look back and see how meetups played a role in this and just what the meetups can turn into here in the future.
Yeah, and if I could say something to, Grand Rapids is, you know, pretty decent sized city. So, you know, I think we got pretty lucky with our turnout then. You know, we're a bit blessed with that. But, you know, we got one guy who comes to all, he goes to the Detroit meetups. He comes to our Grand Rapids one, and he lives in Ovid, Michigan. And this is just, it's an intersection, and that's the town, you know, that's it. I forget how many actual people live in that town, but it's an hour away and I've never heard of the town. So, like, and he started his own meetup, and he's doing a huge thing this summer, bringing all a bunch of Bitcoiners out to hang out on a lake, and it's going to be a blast. But like
Satoshi?
Yeah. So
yeah, I've seen that video. Yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm hoping, you know, we get a bunch of the different meetups to be able to meet up there. But, you know, there's no one there, and he's still doing his meetup and doing his thing, and people will come. And I guess I would want to encourage people. It doesn't matter what size, you know, town you have, like, you'll find Bitcoiners. And like you said, it might take a while, but someone's going to have to start it. You know, if this is important enough to you, like, you got to connect with other Bitcoiners or take the trip out to, you know, your closest city. It might be a few hours away then, but, you know, it's the value of having these face-to-face conversations, it's really important. So,
yeah. If you could go somewhere close to you, you know, highly recommend doing that. It's really cool going to different meetups and just helps you gather more ideas for getting your meetup going, how you want to structure yours, but also kind of puts a little perspective on it. You know, like you see kind of some of the popular meetups out there, and they have a ton of people, you know, and if you're going into starting a meetup, you know, like I said, your expectations might be let down because of that, but going out to other meetups, it puts them in perspective. Like these definitely are smaller, tight-knit groups of people getting together, but once you get to know them, you're going to know that you definitely went to the right place. And how far away is the closest meetup to you guys? What's the next closest?
Benton Harbor has one. That's probably like an hour, a little over an hour. Detroit's about 2 hours. Chicago's about 2.5 hours. And then that Ovid one's about an hour. I'm not sure if he does that every month, but yeah, so there's a couple around, but there's only, I guess there's four now in Michigan. And I'm hoping the UP, someone up there starts to have one. I mean, I travel up there for camping, snowboarding, hiking, kayaking all the time. So it's a beautiful country up there. I would love to have an excuse to head up there and also, you know, attend a Bitcoin meetup. So if anyone's up in the UP, please start one, Marquette or something like that. That'd be awesome.
And what's been like the age variety of your meetups?
All over, man. It's been awesome. Last time we had a young gentleman, 20, come. He was all curious about it and you know, asking some intense questions. And we've had older guys, I don't want to guess their age, but you know, like past retirement age, and it's been all over. And then it's all over the board. It's mostly men. There's a couple of my wife attends, and you know, there's been a couple of women who come, but it's this whole area is pretty dominated by men. You know, it's kind of techy
space in general.
That's the way it is, which is fine. But yeah, that's kind of the demographic of it.
Yeah. If you're going to a Bitcoin meetup and if you see chicks, probably don't hit on them because they probably got dragged by their fiance or husband, boyfriend, whatever. So
likely.
Yeah. So the Nashville group, I went to that meetup and they get, you know, over 100 to 200 people. And I was amazed at how many, you know, there's definitely some gold bugs out there. And I was shocked at how many were there. I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, I'm glad to know that it's not just, you know, guys around, you know, 20 to 40, whatever. And, you know, there's even older folks getting into it. And it's really promising to know that it isn't just like a bunch of, you know, psychopath young guys, whatever. Like, there is a lot more than what meets the eye getting involved with Bitcoin. So and then also, what's your venue like where you guys hold your meetups?
So right now we've just been doing, you know, local pubs and breweries. They've mostly been at Founders. There was and then one we did in this cool bar that a lot of us like, but it was a nice sunny day, you know, and this is like a windowless bar, and just during the summer, we might go there in the winter, but during the summer, it's not the best place. What I would like to eventually have is kind of a dedicated space, something a bit more consistent. The Founders Brewery has been great. You know, they got a huge outdoor patio and easy to find each other and whatnot. I would like the venue to be, how to put this, like a interested in Bitcoin as well, you know, kind of like a Bitcoin, not necessarily company, but something where they would, a Bitcoin friendly venue, I guess, you know, where they would want to maybe integrate with Bitcoin, or, you know, sell their beer for sats or something like that, and possibly have a venue where there can be kind of like a little sit down area for perhaps like a presentation, so we could do these educational meetups every quarter or something like that. So we're not totally set on anything. It's just kind of picking a spot that we all like to go to. So mostly it's been Founders.
Yeah. Start finding a venue to have your meetup at and thinking about where can I find a consistent place? Like it definitely takes some work doing that. You know, I started a meetup back home. Luckily, it was at the brewery of the guy who him and his son orange pilled me. So that was the easy setup. But then moving to Knoxville and starting this meetup, you know, I went to several breweries and restaurants and just looking around, like, where could I find a semi-private area? I don't get any kind, you know, whole lot of funding to help with that. So like, I can't get too expensive of a place to have like a private. So like really got to kind of budget it. And, you know, if you do find that, and there's just a lot that goes into it. So once you get that, it's definitely kind of a sigh of relief getting going. Yeah, it's not very fun.
Yeah, I think we'll get there. It's that whole, you know, low time preference thing. It's tend to be a bit impatient. I want it all to work out right away, but with time and the guys that are attending, they're awesome. You know, and they, many of them want to help and are excited about this and looking forward to trying to bring new people in, looking for a space that would be good for, you know, a quiet place for newcomers to come or just to educate and, you know, a quieter place. And so, yeah, we'll get there. And I think for a long time, it's just going to be a bunch of Bitcoiners talking about Bitcoin, which, I mean, what's better than that? So even that's all great.
Yeah, I'm all about that. Like I said, it's I only do mine once a month. So having that once, you know, one night a month, I really look forward to that. But I always, if anybody's driving through Knoxville and they happen to hit me up on Twitter, whatever, I'll throw a special meetup for anybody driving through, you know, just to get together, you know, hang out. I think it's really cool that you could do that now with all these meetups sprouting up. I know if I ever have the opportunity in my trip, you know, I'm definitely going to take advantage of that. It's if the fiance wants to go do her things, oh, we can do something for your time. Okay, let's go find a meetup to go to. That'd be my fun time. So it's really awesome. Just all these sprouting up and getting going, all kinds of different people starting the meetups. And it just shows that Bitcoin's for everybody. And eventually one day everybody will realize that.
Low time preference. It'll come.
Yeah. What have you guys been able to, would most of people there, like, you know, as far as like learning different wallets and stuff and, you know, cold storage and talking about all that, you know, being able to practice sending sats, learning the difference between Lightning and on-chain. Have you guys been able to utilize your meetups to be a chance to provide that kind of learning experience, at least for some of the Bitcoiners coming to your group, or is everybody pretty well into it?
Yeah, I'd say most are pretty far along, you know. The conversation ends up going towards, you know, like, let's say we start talking about mining, and then this guy knows all about hash rate or mining rigs or whatever. And there is always kind of that expert that takes over, and, you know, or we start talking about nodes or whatnot. We end up bringing eggs to the meetup, and then we'll sell those for sats. And, you know, we always, like, someone wanted to do it on chain, and we're like, oh, actually, could we do over the Lightning Network? And I believe it was their first experience doing that and seeing how easy it was. I mean, it was just a Lightning wallet, you know, it didn't go through their own Lightning node or anything like that, but just to not have to wait for the block to complete and see it go through instantly, you know, I mean, that's a learning experience. Once you make a Lightning transaction, I feel like that's an orange filling moment of itself, where you're just like, oh, this is the way we're going to do this from now on. That totally makes sense, right? Yeah. So there is all that. But yeah, I would like to have, you know, certain people. We've got one gentleman who knows the tax system really well, and he said that he would be willing to kind of educate us on, you know, Bitcoin and taxes. I'm not exactly sure what, you know, he would talk about or anything like that. We got another one who's really into mining. And so perhaps one of these times we could just focus on that. And like that meetup would be about that specific topic. And people could prepare ahead of time and, you know, have their questions ready to go. And you know, you can kind of have a quick education experience, you know, all in one night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I originally started buying on BlockFi, and then I got a cold storage device, and I sent it off. You know, I withdrew it from BlockFi, and it took a few days, and I was just like, this isn't what I was told Bitcoin was. And so that finally went through, and I was just like, okay, that's not. And then I did an on-chain payment, and I was like, okay, like, this still isn't what I thought Bitcoin was, you know? And yeah, like you said, Lightning, you doing your first Lightning payment is definitely an orange pill moment, because then you really start to realize, like, okay, now we have money. First we had store value, now we have money with this. And the way Lightning performs now and so early on in its stage of development, I mean, it's just, I love the way it works. I'm not too technical and all the background stuff, but I mean, for me, I've used it several times to buy things. And I mean, the way Lightning works now, if that were to be how we got to make our payments, it seems like it would work pretty fine to me. So yeah. I'm a huge Lightning Network fan. I love that rabbit hole. So yeah, pretty cool stuff.
I mean, even if we didn't have Lightning and we just had the main chain, the Bitcoin chain, like even that settling final settlement within 10 minutes is still faster than final settlement anywhere else, you know, in fiat and, you know, settling in gold or settling on bank balance sheets, like even 10 minutes is lightning fast, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, when people start to realize how easy it is, and with what Strike's doing with the payment systems and stuff, Jack Dorsey and the Spiral Lightning Developing Kit, really fascinated to see what that's going to come to fruition here in the near future. What are some projects, apps that you are looking forward to that you kind of follow and that you kind of like to hype up to people?
I haven't really hyped this one up, but you probably I'm sure you know more about this than I. One thing that I've always been really excited about is streaming of sats. And so, you know, like the Fountain app, for example, I know you're on there now. And the idea of, you know, let's say I start listening to a podcast and it's not what I thought it was, but I'm still providing value for value. I only consume half of it. So I paid for half of the amount of attention that, you know, that I gave you. And I think that will kind of balance out, I guess, the, you know, what value you're actually providing to your customers, right? So you can actually see a much more true trend line of what you're providing versus if someone just has a whatever subscription that they continue to pay for, but they don't consume any of your content, or, you know, they like the opposite happens. Like, I think that provides a clearer, how do I put it? You know, yeah, I'm blanking on the right word, but it's a clearer feedback. And plus, you know, it could go with salaries too, and the amount of work that you're actually working versus, you know, just having, I pay you this much per year. Once you say that number, well, then I'm going to do the minimal amount of work because you're going to pay me that number regardless, just the minimal amount that doesn't get me fired, right? But if you are streaming the actual value for the value that you're actually producing, then the amount of work that you put in or the amount of value that you actually produce is replicated in the form of money straight back to you. So I don't know if that really answers your question, because that's not a really specific app, but I think the idea of micropayments,
is
incredible.
Yeah, no, that definitely answers my question. And it's, you can really break it down into so many different aspects as well. You know, streaming SaaS to people, and with Fountain app, I could connect my node to it. So now you stream SaaS straight to my node. And I'm able to use the Zeus wallet to see those sats going to my node. You know, just what it, like I said, so early on, but yet so many cool things being built around it. But you know, the Fountain app, I mean, shoot, even if you're just streaming one sat per minute, I'll gladly take that. It's nothing, you know, realistically, but like, I'm all for that by all means. I appreciate that. You know, but it's just really cool what that could be. And instead of paying for all these apps, you know, the Netflixes, Spotify's and everything, paying for the premiums or whatever you may get, instead of paying that lump sum and wasting money if you're not using that all the way, you just pay for what you need. But that's also a, you know, product of the fiat system, because, you know, we pay for what we don't need now. And we, the high type preference, wanting everything now, and you know, just getting everything like that. It's really cool what that's going to open up. And just Bitcoin as a payment system in general, how many different avenues that's going to affect is going to be.
Shane, if you can hear me, you froze.
We'll see. There he is.
Back.
All righty. Is that on your end or my end?
I don't know. I look
okay,
I guess, but I guess we'll continue. Like, yeah, like you were saying, it cuts out the sleaziness of it, right? There's no ads. There's no middleman. There's no credit card companies. There's nothing in the middle, just kind of seeping off, but they're also not really providing any value. They're just kind of like these leeches that are trying to suck away the value that you've created. And it's the whole idea of truly peer to peer. And that's the way that it should be, you know, like over time, these cockroaches have gotten in and, you know, gotten their fingers in different ways to be able to suck out value without actually producing any. And so Bitcoin fixes that, you know, and that's what I really like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I'm just so looking forward to the future, and I'm just so grateful for the fact that I'm getting to experience everything evolve. Even though I just got in February of last year, like, I'm still very new, but man, I'm getting to see so much unfold in front of us. And to think we're going to be able to tell future generations living through this period, it's, I mean, like, to think one day I could get my paycheck streamed straight to my node or something. I mean, just, I want to be there already, but yet I'm, you know, you got to enjoy the journey. So it's been a little difficult. And I also want to say, for anybody listening, sorry about the audio issues, whatever. Still new
audio to all this, so. Right now.
Okay. Well, also the connection. So still new to all this, learning, all the podcasts and stuff. So, what are your, kind of to start wrapping up here, what are your, final thoughts on the Bitcoin space, that, you know, overall, just what's going on with the world and Bitcoin, and, just kind of another last chance, talk about your group, how to get a hold of you, and how to find out about the Grand Rapids Bitcoiners.
Yeah, so the areas of interest, I guess, lately, you know, I have a pretty strong connection with Europe, and I don't know if people have been keeping up with that, but it's not going, I mean, globally, it's not going so well. Europe, it's not going so well. And where I find a lot of hope is that Bitcoin will help a lot of these. Like, it's not so obvious to Americans how Bitcoin can help them, you know. It will, and it will help them immensely. But who it really is going to help is a lot of these less privileged countries, these authoritarian countries. And that's really exciting to me. And I think that's the big reason why, you know, a lot of us are so obsessed about this, because, you know, in our hearts, we really want to see, you know, good thrive throughout the world. And this is actually a very viable way of doing it. It's not just a solution that, you know, is all talk. It really makes sense. And we are seeing how this world could play out without all this corruption. You know, if you disincentivize corruption and you incentivize by actually producing value, I mean, that changes the game completely. If you put your monetary standard, if you build your foundation on something that is uncorruptible and you can't manipulate it, well, then, like, you can actually plan for the future. And that's what I think is one of the biggest things. So that's what I think a lot of us are trying to do is just spread that word of hope and better systems. You have the option to opt out voluntarily into better systems now, and that's a super exciting thing.
Really quick, sorry to cut you off, but yeah, Bitcoin is hope. And that's what, you know, like I said, I was getting big into politics. Like, I was even like, you know, I really want to get my act together. That way, when I'm older, I can be a politician one day. But to think what Bitcoin could do for humanity overall. And like you said, it gets me so excited to think what it could do for these less privileged countries. You know, like, I was reading something. We see Bitcoin as an investment here in the U.S., but they see it as an opportunity to finally be banked, you know, and we take things for granted. And to think what it could do for these smaller countries first, before these bigger countries, the G7, whatever, get involved, like, that is just a beautiful thing, that they could have a fighting chance of getting back ahead for all these years that they've had the thumb pressed down on them. They're finally able to breathe a little bit more, and that gives them hope too. And it's just such a beautiful thing when you can be grateful for that aspect of Bitcoin and not just, you know, the selfish greed of it all, and think about it on the humanitarian aspect of it. And it's really mind-blowing what it could do for the people of the world.
You're right. I think a lot of people who don't know much about it think of it as this, you know, financial thing. You know, I
number go up.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, yeah, that's great. That's what most Americans think of it as. But it actually allows people to be able to build for their future who might have not earlier had the opportunity to be able to do that. The rug gets swept out from under them time and time again. But here's this asset that is unchanging. And you can, you know, if you opt into this, well, then no one can take your Bitcoin away. So a lifetime's worth of accumulating it, you're going to have the same amount when you start as like it's well, probably be worth a lot more, but the actual amount of Bitcoin, you know, is unchanging, and no one's going to be able to take that away from you. So I really think that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. So for
he's come back. Cool. I didn't have to do a little solo rant there until you got back. But no, I love where you're going with all this, because I a few years ago, I was at a point in my life, I was trying to get my act together. I've had an issue with drinking and, you know, other stuff came along with that for my earlier years in my 20s. And up until a few years ago, broke, you know, couch hopping. No car, no license, you know, just in and out of trouble, so to say. And getting going with my life, turning around. I've been sober for a few years now, and getting my life turned around and living in California and seeing that American dream slip away right in front of me terrified me. I was like, how am I going to be able to provide for a few family in the future? Even if I'm a high school teacher, you know, the way inflation's going and the way they keep devaluing my money and my time, you know, it's like, even if I'm a high school teacher, I'm still going to have to get a second job in 20 years, the rate this is going. And that scared the living crap out of me. And that's what, you know, helped my conviction get to where it is.
It's interesting what you said too. What I find the most, I'm not technical, you know, I find the code and whatnot, all of that, like, sure, that's fascinating, but it's actually kind of boring, but it's supposed to be, you know. But what I actually find really fascinating is how many different avenues this bleeds out into people's lives. Like you said, you've got sober and like turned your life around, and that's so common among Bitcoiners. The health aspect, where they start thinking low time preference and they start taking care of their health and they start actually like getting their act together, you know, and just seeing how much value can I provide for the longest amount of time, you know, for generations, hopefully. And I think just before Bitcoin, there's been a lot of lack of hope, you know, where that idea was hopeless. Why would you not get what you can get right now? Because, you know, nothing's guaranteed for your future, but something is guaranteed now, and that's Bitcoin. And that's where I think this comes from, where people are starting to understand. And that's why, you know, these Bitcoiners, man, it's just so funny how like they turn their health around specifically that. Like that's an incredible thing. How does a what would you call it, a platform, a network code do that to people? It's so strange.
Mm-hmm. It truly is. It's, you know, it's too good to be true, but you got to accept it. Sometimes good things happen to the world, and we were gifted for what Satoshi has done for us. I mean, it is truly too good to be true, and is going to affect in such a beneficial way every avenue of our lives, because a poisonous fiat system has touched every avenue of our lives up until this point. The, like you were mentioning earlier, you know, the fiat food, we got fiat schools now, fiat government, fiat everything. The fiat system has poisoned the world. And, you know, it's just finally the everyday people can have a fighting chance again.
Beautiful time to be alive.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ryan, just to start wrapping things up, why don't you let us know how to get a hold of the Grand Rapids Bitcoiners, and just a last little thank you.
Yeah, so if you're in the Southwest Michigan area or are going to pass through, please come by. We meet every Tuesday, every fourth Tuesday of the month. We have a Telegram group. I should have written that down. But you can find that on our Twitter, which is GRBTC. Follow us there. And yeah, I think that would probably be the best way to contact us. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Shane. Thanks for doing this work and spreading the word for us meetup organizers to be able to feed off of each other and learn from each other. I mean, this all comes down to education, right? And yep. That's why we're doing this. So the more that we can learn from each other and be able to reach out to people to show them that there is hope out there, yeah, we're doing good stuff. So thank you, Shane.
Yeah, thank you as well. Thank you for doing Satoshi's work. And just keep pushing. These meetups are going to turn into something beautiful. So yeah, thank you for all that you're doing up there in Michigan. And just hold on a sec. I'll be right back with you here in a minute. Alrighty. So that was Ryan from Grand Rapids Bitcoiners Group. And just thank you, Ryan, for coming on. We will be live here at 5:30 with the Tampa Bay Bitcoiners and BitDevs. So look forward to hearing what they got going on down there as well. Thank you for listening. You could reach out to us on Twitter at BitcoinKBN, Knoxville Bitcoin Network on Telegram, YouTube, KnoxvilleBitcoin.com. And listen on Fountain App, Stream Sats, Value for Value. If you appreciate the show, anything's appreciated. And also listen for free on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. So other than that, if you're interested, Knoxville Bitcoin Network has a promo with the BitBox O2 Bitcoin only signing device. So check them out. Product made by Shift Crypto. I'm looking to get the 5% or use Knoxville for 5% discount. But other than that, we'll be back here at 5:30. Keep stacking hard.